When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Appreciate you guys for tuning in to this edition as we recap the preseason game that the Eagles played last Thursday. We have some standout players from that. We have some news and rumors concerning a certain position on the team as well. Some more reports coming out about the relationship dynamic, whatever you want to call it, between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, and so on and so forth. If you're new to the show, appreciate you guys. Yeah, roll your eyes over there, Steven. If you're new to the show, appreciate you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe to Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Follow me, Victor Williams, on social media at the Philly Pod, Twitter, Instagram, the whole bit. Do the same for my faithful co-host over here, Steven Conrad Jr. Steven, it's not the regular season, obviously, but we got our first look at, you know, organized Eagles football in the preseason. We didn't get the starters despite Hurts and Saquon and those boys being in pads in the warm-ups. They teased us, and Sirianni said, nah, the rain, didn't want to risk it in the rain, and then none of the offensive starters played. So that was a bummer, but it was good to see the players out there last Thursday, even though we didn't see the starters and it wasn't a regular season game.
Boy, did we get fooled, huh? I thought I was going to see a offensive series.
I was ready, Saquon touchdown. I was ready for something.
Especially if when Jalen Hurts is running out there in pads. But, you know, I'm not losing sleep over it. We got to see the starters on defense. Some starters who are certainly, well, I would argue all of them are going to be under a microscope of some sort, obviously, this season. But it was nice to see the rookies and even, like, you know, some of the second-year players, well, third-year players for, like, Jordan Davis, I guess. I'm probably missing somebody. But, yeah, just nice to see Eagles football in general. It was fun seeing Kenny Pickett going from
no,
you know, 4 yards per pass to, you know, Tanner McKee.
It was fun watching. We didn't get a whole lot of downfield passing as a whole in that game. Kellen Moore said he didn't really want to reveal a whole lot. Again, vanilla play calling in preseason. We understand that. But McKee looks a lot more comfortable. We'll talk about it. But McKee looks more comfortable thus far. That's been the trend of camp, and that certainly looked that way in the preseason game. Pickett still looks like he's kind of finding his footing. He can throw the ball. There's no doubt about it. He was a former first-round pick. But McKee has a year in the system already, even though it wasn't with Kellen Moore. He has familiarity with the team, so it's no surprise that he looks a little better than Kenny Pickett right now. Before
you know,
we get into
speaking on that really quickly,
go ahead.
You don't realize, obviously, we're Eagles fans, so we're used to Jalen Hurts being the quarterback who's a dual-threat guy. Like, you don't realize how much you take it for granted until you have a straight, well, two statue pocket passers playing in preseason games. You know, it's
Pickett
like
has a little bit of mobility. He can run a little bit. McKee sure has zero mobility. I don't think I've seen him leave that pocket ever. So even when they drafted him last year, I was like, this didn't make a lot of sense. I wanted Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I wanted somebody like that to back up Jalen Hurts so that if he gets hurt, you don't got to like recreate the playbook when another quarterback comes in. So it's going to be interesting to see if McKee ever has to play, you know, knock on wood, if McKee ever has to play in a serious situation, what they're going to do with the playbook. Because obviously he can't run options and things like that. Nick Foles ran them well. We'll speak on Nick Foles in a second. He ran them well when he was in there. He knew how to kind of sell the option. I don't know if McKee has that same skill set, but hopefully we never have to find out. Steven, you said before the show you had a rant that you've been holding on to for a couple days that you want to get off your chest. So I'll let you open the show with that before we get into the nerd analysis of everything. Are you upset about something? Is there something irritating you as of late as far as the Eagles are concerned?
Yeah, I'm very irritated, and I can't be the only one. So obviously, you know, we haven't recorded in a little bit. Obviously, you know, I'd imagine the people were here to hear our takeaways and reactions to the preseason game. But let's just address something that, for whatever reason, won't go away. It's like that annoying fly that keeps buzzing around your ear or something. Like, it just won't go away. report surfaced. I honestly can't remember the day now. I want to say it was on, was it Thursday of last week?
I can tell you. Go ahead.
But, you know, it's a little bit of the same old, same old. There was an article published, I believe, by, I can't even remember the guy's name, to be honest
McManus.
With you.
It was Tim McManus.
Tim McManus, who was in attendance for press conferences
last Wednesday.
That afternoon, right?
It was last Wednesday. He was there. He was there that day. He was there.
You know, Jalen Hurts quickly shut it down. Basically, what I'm getting at here is a bombshell of an article was published, maybe more details than we have heard about the quarterback's relationship, that being Jalen Hurts' relationship with head coach Nick Sirianni. And it really detailed a lot of things, so much so, it was so in-depth that they even mentioned, apparently, before, I want to say, the playoff game in the wild card round against the Bucks, Jalen Hurts reached out to Giants defensive coordinator Wink Martindale. That was a bit dropped in there. Keep in mind, guys, we're talking about something that dates back all the way to the wild card round of the playoffs. It is August right now. We're a few weeks away from week one of the brand new season, and that got brought up. Jalen Hurts called out the reporter, shut it down pretty quickly. I don't need to summarize anymore. You guys have probably heard it by now, and you can find it certainly out there. I'm fed up. I'm fed up with the media. I'm not, you know, I'm sure they'll be offended by this, by what I'm about to say. I'm not singling anybody out because it's been a collective effort. Us here at the Liberty Line, I believe, our blog say we've done our best to not like shove it down your throats. We obviously mm-hmm. have to address things when there's news, mm-hmm. but we have said time and time again, none of this is news. Okay. None of this is news. We knew there was an issue. Okay. I don't know why, like it all started as soon as the team started losing games last year. And for whatever reason, they will not drop it. The media will not drop it. We have all these new moving parts. It's a fresh new season, new opponents, new teams on the schedule, and even new faces in the building. A lot of new faces in the building. They won't drop it. And I'm just so fed up with it. And I'm fed up with all I'm fed up with all you journalists out there. Some that call yourself journalists, you self-proclaimed journalists, and I am fed up with the professionals, okay? And I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but respectfully, just shut the fuck up already, please. Like, I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired of people.
About this topic, at least.
And I'm so tired of all these people that think they're, like, in the know and they're super smart and, like, they're all coming at each other. Like everybody argues about it on the timeline about who has sources, who knows this, who knows that. I don't care. I don't care what you know. I don't care if you know a janitor in the building. I don't care if you are in direct communication with Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts. I don't care, okay? It's over. It's done. These are grown men, professional athletes. They make millions of dollars, money none of you will ever see.
Or us.
Yes. And the fans in this city deserve better. That's my biggest thing, all right? That's why we do this podcast. I don't claim to be a journalist. I just come up here and give my opinion because at the end of the day, that's what we do here. As fans, I don't care. I just don't care anymore to you. I'm so
even
fed
Hurts
up
asked.
With it.
Hurts asked. He was like, why
and
is it relevant
And all the dickhead
now?
Energy I see on Twitter all the time. I don't even go on social media that much anymore for it. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of everybody trying to flex up on each other all the time, like especially in the media. And then you get up there and Jalen Hurts calls you out and your nuts shrivel up.
Who wrote it? McManus said, I mean, I was just trying to provide extra context. And Hurts was like, why is it relevant now? Yeah, even he's curious as to why. And
journalists should be forced to answer that question if you're going to keep asking them the same stupid stuff.
Like you just said, like it wasn't a secret that there was stuff going on in the locker room. We don't know details. Obviously, we weren't there. None of us are in the building, so we don't know exactly what the issues were. But it's no secret that things didn't go the way that the coaching staff wanted or that the players wanted, and that's why the changes were made. Let's leave all that stuff in 2023. Look ahead in 2024, and if the issues between Sirianni and Hurts and whoever else are still there are still prominent throughout the season, then we'll make a change at head coach and we'll deal with that.
And you know what they're
doing? If that ever happens.
It feels like, and I get it, it's the media's job to create these things, you know, some things are obviously self-created.
This is a story for like March, like not August when you're three
but
weeks away
they're
from the
acting,
season.
The media acts like this is like the Ben Simmons situation.
What do you mean?
It's pretty much how it is. Remember how stretched out that was? And I get why that was stretched out because Ben was still on the team and he literally wasn't showing up. But there's no drama going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
That
they want to curate it. They want to curate the drama.
The issues were concerned are still in the building, but they addressed that. And if that stuff was never addressed, guess what? Sirianni would have been canned.
Although I will say, when we were so quick to shut down all the Wentz stuff, like, oh, Wentz is a bad teammate and all this, and we were so quick to shut that down, and all that turned out to be true. So
yeah, but they moved on from him in the offseason.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
both were gone.
I'm not saying that it's bad journalism. I'm just saying, like, why is it relevant in August?
Yeah, I didn't say any of that. I just said I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah, it's just like we're past that point now. It was something to talk about in March and April. It doesn't really matter now. And unless McManus or whoever got like new information like last week and was like, oh man, I gotta get it out there. I just don't. The wink stuff is a bit interesting because it shows that Hurts, no, at any cost, is willing to improve, and he'll ask former coordinators that have game planned against him so that he understands like where other teams are coming from. And Wink said nobody's ever done that before, certainly not a quarterback in the NFL. So he was shocked that that happened. And Hurts, he tried to do it before the playoff game. He tried to fix things before the playoff game, but the season and everything was too far gone by that point. So good on Hurts for always trying to improve in different ways. That was my takeaway from the situation, is that Hurts is willing to improve by any means, no matter what it is. He doesn't care if he has to face humility and be like, you guys game planned well against me. What did you see for me in the offense? It was something that I can take and improve on. And Wink was happy to give him that information. He said it was like a half an hour or so call. So that's great. But yes, very tired of the Sirianni Jalen Hurts stick. And if they come out flat, the way the schedule is, that shouldn't happen. But if they come out flat, you know, it won't be going away, Steven. There'll be more like Sirianni gotta go. Hurts, can they make it work? It's going to be a whole
yeah, but you know what? That's different.
That's if they start out. And then, I mean, I just saw a post on Instagram earlier about coaches on the hot seat this season. Sirianni was front and center. So we'll certainly have a lot of eyeballs on this team for
yeah, like,
various
reasons.
I'm not
saying his job's like locked up. I'm just over this like nonsense that we keep talking about last year with like grown men dealing with issues at the workplace, because that's what it is at the end of the day.
Especially with the new faces in the building, as you said, a lot of things to be excited about. Speaking of new faces, quite a couple of them impressed in the preseason opener in Baltimore against the Ravens. Like I said, we didn't see the starters. We didn't get to see Saquon and them, but we did get to see, get a good look at a lot of the rookies. So, Steven, I have about four or five standout players that impressed me throughout the game. I'm sure you have a couple. We'll kind of bounce off each other here. I'm sure we'll have some similar names, but we'll see if any of them. We'll do a couple players that didn't impress us as well. Some players that we had high hopes for and aren't doing so hot thus far into the year. So for me, it's an evident one. It's not an earth-shattering response here as far as standout players, but Quinyon Mitchell is showing exactly why he was a first-round talent, exactly why he probably should have been taken top 15 in the draft and had no business falling to the Eagles. We will not complain, and he locked up wide receiver Malik Cunningham in the first quarter. He probably should have had the interception. He made it known after the fact that it's a play I got to make. Sirianni says, I want to see him make those plays. I've seen him do it before. I would have liked to see him finish that play. But already getting past breakups in that sense. And very excited to see Quinyon Mitchell already in sticky coverage, already asserting himself in that secondary. And it's kind of an iffy situation with him as far as his placement in the secondary right now, because he was drafted to be the second cornerback. Kelee Ringo and Isaiah Rodgers are having really good summers. They're vying for that starting outside job. And it kind of leaves, not Quinyon, like, I'm not going to say he's on the outside looking in, but he's in a precarious situation here, because he could play him at outside, but then what do you do with Ringo? What do you do with Rodgers? Which is why Vic Fangio is cross-training him to play the slot so that he can find his way on the field in that sense, because you have Maddox who can't stay on the field, and you have some other guys. But Quinyon certainly going to find his way on the field one way or another as a first-round pick.
I told you. Remember this argument we had? You're like, oh, he might take a few weeks before he's out there with the starters.
Yeah, I said – I said, to be clear, I said I'll be shocked if Ringo or Rodgers aren't starting on the outside come week one. Like, I'll be shocked if Quinyon is starting over them. But if I didn't foresee him playing in the slot, though. It seems like they're going to make it a point to get him on the field, even if it has to be in a nickel situation.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's what you had just said. It's lineup. Well, yeah, the cornerback room, it's dependent on what they have in there, but it's Vic Fangio's scheme. Obviously, his nickel, or Fangio's version of a nickel, sounds like a very, very interesting, like, hybrid version of it. You know what I mean? He's going to be involved with a lot of stuff around the line of scrimmage.
He's in there in dime looks too, Quinyon. So,
yeah, I mean, so it could be a week-to-week thing. Like, who knows? Like, he's going to be matched up on a variety of different mm-hmm. players, different, you know, like, tasks will be in front of him, placed upon him. It's, you know, I'm not like an X's and O's, like, guru, but, I mean, it's a lot to learn, obviously, when you're, like, cross-training somebody, but...
Yeah, that's my concern at the moment, is putting a lot on his plate. He seems like he can do it.
But he might, you know, he's got to be the guy for it. I mean, you know, the 22nd overall pick in the draft. I believed going into the draft he was the best overall corner. Never in a million years did I imagine he would fall to us and us end up, you know, taking him ultimately. So, you know, there's going to be growing pains for a rookie in general. That's any position, especially in a secondary. So I just wonder, I almost wonder if it'll be a easier transition for him in the NFL, just because, like, again, it's all matchup dependent, though. Like, I guess, you know, Packers are week one, so I'm trying to imagine, like, who would he even match up with, you know? Slay would be on the outside.
Romeo Dobbs. You're gonna put him on Romeo Dobbs. Certainly not Christian Watson. Watson's too big, so they'll figure all that out. Quinion played 14 coverage snaps in the preseason game. He only allowed 7 receiving yards, and opposing quarterbacks had a 58.3 passer rating when targeting him in the secondary. So very good, impressive debut for Quinion Mitchell thus far. Building on what is already a strong summer, he's going stride for stride with AJ and Devontae, so it didn't shock me to see him already clamping up receivers like Malik Washington. Stephen, for you, or Malik Cunningham, I'm sorry, not Malik Washington. I have Malik Washington on my mind because he's the guy that fans wanted over Anaya Smith. Well, we'll talk about Anaya later on. A player for you that stood out to you during this preseason game, Stephen?
Well, obviously, Quinion Mitchell jumped off the screen, obviously, so we already addressed him. But
if you have more on him, then by all
means. No. That was my absolute first, like, without a doubt, my first takeaway. Because, like, look, I get it. It's preseason. You're looking at guys who, one, can they make a roster? Will they have any role in the team? And a guy who's really heated up over the last, you know, month or so since training camp has started is one Britton Covey. I have to mention his name. Effective in the punt return game yet again. Yeah. Had a very nice punt return.
26-yard return was very nice to end the half.
Yeah, and look, Kellen Moore can say it was a vanilla offense, whatever the case may be, but he was pretty effective in the passing game. A few screen passes that he took for solid yards after the catch. Is that a testament to the scenario in preseason and who they're matched up against? Maybe, but he looked pretty good to me. I just lost my train of thought.
Right, the 4 catches, 25 yards. Had a good showing as a receiver, too.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, I'm not trying to take any credit away from Britton Covey, but as far as, like, the offense goes, it's kind of wild how much better the screen game just looked. I don't even know if it's personnel dependent or whatever they've been working on. It just looked better, and Britton Covey was directly involved with that, a guy that's competing for the wide receiver 3 spot, right? I mean,
man,
he's got punt return ability,
you
as
can
we
go
know.
Go back to those pods in March when we were screaming. You were like, Britton Covey, man, I'll sleep on him. Now, like, I was saying, if Britton Covey is going to be WR3, then we are in a bad spot on offense, and he's fighting his way into that competition. So I got to give you your flowers there. You believed in the guy. I didn't see it, but you were on it.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna have to do more than just be effective in the screen game too on offense. Like, you're going to want to see if he can, you know, match up and get off the line of scrimmage quickly in the slot, win, get open, separate, whatever the case may be. I have no idea what the offense is going to look like. We've just seen, you know, very little of it so far, but I mean, he looked better than what we've seen. Maybe it's a testament to more opportunity and him training harder in the offseason. I don't know, but definitely, I mean, he impressed
me. He catches everything, that's for sure. Yeah. He doesn't have drop issues. He has good hands. He's just small. So that's going to be the thing. He's going to be strictly a slot. You're going to have to find creative ways to use him. But that's what Kellen Moore is all about. I remember in the spring, I don't remember your thoughts on this, but I was debating if Britton Covey would even hold on to the returner job, because now we have other guys who can do it that play other positions, like Isaiah Rodgers and Anaya Smith at the time. And I was thinking to myself, are you going to give Britton Covey a roster spot if all he does is punt return? You can't play him on offense at the time, as I said, that you can't play him on offense. And what are they going to do? But he still seems to be the most sure-handed guy on the team, and he was a top 10 returner in the league last year. I think top 5. I would have to go back and find those stats. But he's one of the top returners in the league last year, and it sure seems that he's going to hold on to that job heading into this season. Anaya Smith, since I brought him up, he was a guy, again, way before me on this one. You liked Anaya Smith out of school, and I became a fan of him once the Eagles drafted him, and I looked at his tape, and he was a really good guy, really good yards after catch guy, really, really shifty guy with the ball in his hands. But this guy just seemingly can't put it together in camp yet, hasn't done anything, didn't do anything in the preseason game. He muffed the punt out of bounds. He just looks like he's slow, and he looks like he's undersized. Now, it's early. You know, it's early in camp, and it's only one preseason game, and you don't want to draw any conclusions on a player, you know, so early. But he's a guy I thought would play a prominent role in this offense in that wide receiver three kind of battle. I figured he would, you know, kind of mix into that rotation. And I'm starting to think if he even makes the roster at this point. It's been a tough go for Anaya Smith thus far, and he was a guy I was really excited about. What are your thoughts on him so far? I know you were more excited than I was in the beginning, and he's having a tough go of it so far. He came off an injury in the OTAs. He was dealing with an injury, so he was already kind of behind. And in camp, even CJ was giving him a hard time. I think I just read something from an article earlier about how Anaya Smith didn't get a lot of separation on a route, but McKee still fit the ball in here anyway, and he didn't make the grab. And CJ said he ain't done shit all camp. Like, you like CJ, but that's tough on a guy's confidence. So I guess your thoughts on your guy, Anaya Smith, thus far. It's been tough for him.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember, Britton Covey actually dealt with this exact issue in a way last preseason. He had like an injury that kind of slowed down his chances of having any
last year.
Obviously he was a special teamer going into last year, but there was even talks about him fighting for a wide receiver spot on the team, or I guess even a roster spot at that point, and an injury kind of hampered that. So by the time you know week one rolled around, he was a, you know, non-factor, or didn't really have a role at all. I'll just say this though, as far as Anaya Smith goes, I just hope he makes the team, honestly. Like, I'm a little concerned. Like, there's
no
way.
He's got practice squad written all over him right now.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's there, I don't, you know, I hope. I just think he has potential. It's what they need, obviously.
His tape is so impressive at school. Like, there's got to be something there. There's got to be something there. You don't want this to be a Hightower situation where he just kind of fizzles out the league. Like, I hope he can pull it together, because he's an exciting player. And I'm hoping
it's just tough because the wide receiver three spot is like still very much up for grabs, it feels like.
A little rumor situation on the wide receiver three spot. We'll talk about after these players.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another guy I'll go to. I'll stick with cornerback, and that's Kelee Ringo. Again, not a shocker here, but Ringo had himself a good game in preseason. He was targeted 5 times. He allowed just 1 catch, and he broke up a couple of passes. He had the 1 breakup in the end zone that prevented a touchdown. People were saying he got handsy and he held a little bit, but show me a corner that doesn't hold. So it's all that matters is if they call it or not. And Ringo's coverage was just enough to prevent that touchdown. If you would have asked me who the leading contender of cornerback 2 was heading into that game, Steven, I would have said Isaiah Rodgers. I think Ringo, with this game, is closing that gap a little bit. For right now, I think the preseason week 2 depth chart just came out, and they're still sharing the starting CB2 role. So is this going to be CB2 by committee? We mentioned on the last show. But Ringo really, really impressed me with his coverage. He had another pass breakup where he got physical at the catch point and broke up another ball. I really like what I'm seeing from Ringo, not only this summer, but in that game as well. And he had some really good reps towards the end of the regular season. It looks like it's starting to come together for him. He was drafted, when did the Eagles take him? 4th round last year, I think. And there were some concerns about his penalty. He draws a lot of penalties, things like that. But the speed is there and the physicality is there. And he looks to be having all of the, the traits right now of a starting NFL corner.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I believe he had that one. Was he the one who had that pass breakup in the end zone where people were like, mm-hmm. Oh, I hate when... Yeah. Unless it's like blatant and obvious, like, come on, man. Just like, let's credit a corner for a pass breakup.
I posted the clip on Instagram right after it happened, and within like 30 seconds, there were 8 comments all saying hold. I was like, all right, I guess we're all fucking referees now.
Well, it's like, you know, if we're going to do that, then damn. I mean, it's damn near impossible.
Show me a corner that doesn't hold. Show me a corner that doesn't hold. Nah. I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I'm right there with you. I mean, to throw in 2 more names, I'm not saying I'm putting them in the same boat because they're going to have way different roles, but two other guys on the defense that stood out to me were Nolan Smith and actually Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I was surprised with. I don't have the stats off the top of my head for Trotter, but and I know Nolan Smith recorded a sack. I think it was like, what, the end of the third quarter in the edge rusher spot, which I'm still trying to figure out exactly how they're going to use him. Just because fans
primarily as an edge rusher.
I hope so. I hope so. But both of them, we already knew Nolan Smith was an elite athlete, and that's just like what stood off the page for me. For him, obviously, he just looked quick. He was all over the place, flying all over there. You know, the effort's always going to be there with him, but. Trotter too, for somebody who I thought like our big thing. I mean, if you go back to the pods leading up to the draft, like we thought he was a good player, high IQ guy. But his issue was perhaps going to be maybe his size, but also his athleticism. And honestly, he looked kind of quick to me. I don't know, you know, what that is. Maybe he's better than what he tested. We've seen this a lot in the NFL where guys maybe don't test as well and they come in and that game speed is just a different thing. So we'll be interesting to see how that plays out for him, you know, like moving forward. I mean, that linebacker spot is interesting to say the least. It's improved, I guess, from last year, we'd have to say. Free agent additions and stuff like that. Hopefully N'Kobe Dean can stay healthy. But
he had a good game too, N'Kobe, I feel like he had some nice plays in there. He needs to really show something though. It's going to get to the point where what do we have with N'Kobe Dean? I agree with you on Jeremiah Trotter. He was on my list as well. He finished the game with 6 tackles, tied for the team lead. He had a sack and a QB hit. He played 40 total snaps combined on defense and special teams. Arguably more than the sack. My most impressive play from Trotter was on a punt where he raced down the field and caught the punt returner. He's going to be really good on special teams this year, if nothing else. I think he'll find his way on the field as a defensive player. I think he'll get there in the linebacker rotation, but he'll be really good on special teams this year. I expect big things from him. He'll kind of be their ace. I really liked the tackle that I saw from him on the punt returner. Nolan Smith was a good one. I didn't have him, but I did notice the sack, and we're going to need that. Yeah. More from Nolan Smith. I'm gonna steal a player from you here because I know you like this go. I know you like this guy, but Mr. Philip Lindsay, aka Will Shipley, he scored the touchdown in the first quarter on a reception, not a rushing attempt, but on a reception. So the good, all these running backs the Eagles got all got pass catching ability, and obviously all the attention was on Saquon, and for good reason. You know, he's gonna be the star in the backfield, but other than Gainwell, I expect Will Shipley to find his way into the mix as well. I really liked what I saw from him. He ran hard in between the tackles on the carries he did got, and the reception he got from Pickett as well to get into the end zone. So I think Will Shipley is showing good things. When Saquon was missing from practice last week, I want to say he was out of one for personal reasons, and Shipley got a lot of first team work, and he looked good. He didn't look out of place, and good things so far from Will Shipley, Steven.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, for both of those backs, I guess we're just going to assume, based off of what we heard, that Kenneth Gainwell has the number 2 spot locked up right now.
I would assume so.
You know, both guys' calling card is going to be in the passing game. Obviously, they are going to be asked to do other things. Pass blocking is something that Will Shipley is going to have to learn, you know, or pick up better, get better at if he wants more run. But yeah, like when you pay Saquon Barkley, obviously there's going to be very limited role and opportunity for the two. But
I will say, to your point, pass protection, Will Shipley kind of lagged in that area in camp, but he had one play in this game where he picked up a blitz really well and stopped him from reaching Pickett in the pocket. So he seems to be taking notes and improving in that area. And I wrote in my takeaways article that if you could find a way to keeping Jalen Hurts upright is the priority. And if you can help in that area, you'll find your way on the field as a rookie.
Yeah, and it was just refreshing to see the effectiveness of the backs in the passing game. I mean, I'll have to go back and watch to see if they did anything differently, because last season it was non-existent at all. And even for a guy like DeAndre Swift, we thought
a guy who thrives in that area. So. Yeah.
And I'd imagine Saquon Barkley will be used in a very interesting role. I don't think he's just going to be like a traditional back in this offense, honestly. But that's just my guess. Based off of
practice, like I said, practice, they split him out left. I was like, sheesh, they got this
that,
man.
And the personnel thing, too, you know, the lack of a true wide receiver three, if that's what you want to call it, they may have to get creative with the backs, you know?
Any thoughts on John Ross, since we're talking receivers? Any thoughts on John Ross? Because
I feel like I think it was Kenny Pickett who missed him on a play down the sideline early on, and he seemed pretty frustrated about it. He kind of was open, so it would have been close to a 50-50 ball, but I don't know. I mean, he didn't really stand.
He didn't jump off. He didn't jump off the page. He didn't really.
I don't know.
He didn't.
I will say, Johnny Wilson started off the game great. Did he have the first catch of the game? I want to say,
mm-hmm.
And then he pancaked somebody. I'm not sure how many snaps he played. But it's very interesting with him, because he's almost like a wide receiver tight end hybrid. And what's funny about it is he kind of has exactly what the Eagles backup tight end Grant Calcaterra needs. And that's like some physicality. Now, maybe it's because Johnny Wilson he's huge, but he's playing the wide receiver spot. Whereas Grant Calcaterra is literally just a receiving tight end who, unfortunately, his weakness is in the blocking game. So Kellen Moore and company are going to have to get a little creative with who they throw out there. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't give it away too much, right? You know what I'm saying? But, Johnny Wilson may not have... They've been using him in the slot, right? At least when he's lined up with the starters, which, you know, if you're any familiar with the slot position, usually just like undersized guys that need freed up and have a certain skill set to him, right? Whereas Wilson's a big slot, you know, so it's kind of interesting. I like it, though. I love physical guys. I'm all for it, especially with
certainly
the Eagles.
Need a guy
they want to
like
run the football, man, so hey.
They need a 50-50 guy, and Johnny Wilson is stepping up in that role, because if they lose AJ or Smitty for any reason throughout the season, you don't have a lot of guys who can play on the outside, and Johnny Wilson will be that guy. I think he leads. I think he's at the forefront of that WR3 situation right now. Paris hasn't done a lot since the beginning of camp. Obviously, Anaya Smith isn't there. Covey's making plays, like we already mentioned. But Johnny Wilson is earning the most trust from Jalen Hurts, it seems like. He's getting a lot of balls in camp, and he had this one catch from Pickett in the preseason game. I think he's leading that situation now. Now, we have heard. It has come across our desk here at the Liberty Line that the Eagles are making calls around the league about potentially adding another receiver. And we mentioned some names in prior episodes. We mentioned John Metchie out of Houston. They got a lot of guys over there. John Metchie could be on the outside looking in. We've talked about Terrace Marshall Jr. in Carolina. We've talked about Treylon Burks in Tennessee. And a lot of those guys make sense for what the Eagles want. And if they're not sold, even though they see the talent, if they're not sold on the situation at wide receiver behind Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, you could certainly see them making a case for bringing in another receiver, and how he seems to be, at least at bare minimum at the moment, making calls around the league to see who is available and who can potentially improve this team at that position. Thoughts on those rumors at the moment, Steven, about bringing in another receiver? Are you content with what they have? Do you think they should just run out, Covey, Johnny Wilson, see what they got? Or are you all for bringing in another name to kind of help out? Because there's a lot of people that are like, we're fine with what we have. Just let them rock. Let the rookies play, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an issue with it. You know, I'm one of those people that want to see what they can do with the guys in the building.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's like if you were going to do it, though, now would be the time.
Yeah, we'll do a midseason. Midseason trades aren't working out for the Eagles, right?
I mean, it's a brand new offense. And that's the thing. Like, depending on who you bring in, you know, same case. They're going to be learning something new. I'd have to imagine Howie is in heavy talks with Kellen Moore. You know, perhaps there's some sort of skill set that they're looking for. So, yeah, I mean, it's – I trust them. I mean, now would be the time to do that.
Yeah, I think so. Are there any other standout players? I think I wrapped up on mine. Any other players that kind of caught your eye in the preseason game here? You did mention Nolan Smith. That's a good one. So that's
who's that? I forget. He was on the O line, and I believe he was either an undrafted guy or somebody we got in the late round. But I believe he
Trevor
played
Keegan?
Every single snap. So Michigan shout out guy? To him. Trevor I don't think Keegan? It was Keegan. Was it? Or maybe it was Keegan. It was either him or McMahon. Does that sound right?
Oh, Dylan McMahon, the center, the backup center. Yeah.
One of the guys played. I think
he was in there for a while. Yeah.
I think he played every snap of the game. So shout out to the Iron Man himself.
Yeah. They got some. They're always good with the. With the O-line and what they're doing with that. Trevor Keegan in preseason, he played 27 pass block snaps and allowed zero pressures. So good on Trevor Keegan, guy out of Michigan, going to see some nice things from him. Steven, yesterday the Eagles brought in a Broncos safety that is not Justin Simmons. When I had posted this, everybody saw the picture and were freaking out. It's Justin Simmons, but it was not Justin Simmons. It is Mr. Caden Stearns, who played with Vic Fangio in 2019 during his rookie – or not in 2019, I'm sorry, in 2021 – during his rookie season when Fangio was there. Also played with Christian Parker, and now he is here. Fangio said he liked what he did while he was there. He has a lot of injury concerns. He tore his patella tendon week one last year, missed the entire year, and had some injuries before that. So there's definitely some concern with this one, but they could use the safety depth. Sidney Brown working his way back from the ACL tear. You have a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who has missed the last few practices with a shoulder issue, I think it is. You have Reed Blankenship, who's always banged up himself. And they have James Bradbury, who Fangio says is picking up the position well. See, this is what you do. When corners lose a step, you move them to safety. Remember when Walter Thurman did it when he came here? That's who I first thought of when they wanted to move Bradbury to safety. But he has the instincts and he has the IQ to translate to safety, so it doesn't shock me to hear that he's doing well there. But once you lose a step at speed at cornerback, you kind of have to try and figure out. And safety is a solution a lot of the time. And maybe Bradbury will figure into the safety rotation if he's still on the roster come week one.
Not the Broncos safety that I wanted, I'll tell you that.
Sure it wasn't. Sure. Not the safety a lot of people wanted.
I'll be that guy today. I'm a little worried about that group. I'm glad CJ DJ is here.
CJ DJ.
Yeah, I mean, not the Broncos safety that I wanted. I don't know a whole lot about him, but like, I'm just glad he's doing his due diligence. But again, who knows? Like,
had to bring in somebody.
They have cap space, like, don't they? Like, we're in a solid position right now.
Like, sitting at like $20 million right now, around $25 million. Simmons isn't. I just don't think Simmons is happening. There's rumors out there about he didn't get along with Fangio, and he wants a lot of money. And Josina Anderson said a couple of days ago that he doesn't feel like there's enough playing time for him here based on the safety position. If that were to change, he would reconsider, but he doesn't feel like that it would be the best spot for him. That's why he's taking visits with the Saints. I believe he's now visiting with the Atlanta Falcons because they had some injuries at safety. And if the Falcons can pull that off and they have Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons back there, that's a hell of a secondary duo if they're able to make that happen. But as far as the Simmons to Eagles, I think if that was going to happen, it would have happened already, and I just don't see it in the cards at the moment. If they were going to do it, they would have done it like a couple months ago. I don't think they're doing it now.
There's also a guy I have my eye on as we approach the trade deadline.
Oh yeah,
some pass rushing help on the New pass England Patriots. Help. You could argue he's their best player because that
Judon
sucks. Yes.
Oh my God, they would have to really swing that. He wants a new deal now. They would have to figure that out. He wants a new contract and everything. There's a reason why he's not playing in Pittsburgh.
And that screams Howie Roseman. Come here and we'll find out.
He wants a lot of money, though, that guy.
He's going to be hungry.
He's going to want like $12, $13 million. They're going to have to figure that out. Speaking of edge rushers, not a lot of Bryce Huff. Didn't hear his name a whole lot on Thursday. We got to pray to God that this man gets some sacks on this coming season, because you essentially swapped Hassan Reddick for him. And Reddick's still not playing over there, no? He's still holding out? He might hold out for the freaking year at this rate, but not a lot of Bryce Huff. But he'll probably come on as the games go on, especially in the regular season. Trying to think of some other players that kind of caught our eye. You mentioned Johnny Wilson, mentioned Covey, mentioned Shipley, mentioned the two corners. I think that might be it.
How did
as far
Becton
as...
look? I feel like he played a little bit.
He played pretty good. I saw some clips of Jordan Davis getting washed out of some plays. Can't have that in the regular season. Don't want to see that.
Yeah, don't even get me started on him.
Oh, no. What's wrong with Jordan Davis?
I mean, let's go, man. Like, let's go. Let's turn up. You know what I'm saying? It's time to turn up.
So it's year three. Cut the dreads. It's time to go. Becton
I need him to get mean.
Becton played eight snaps at right guard Thursday. And wasn't bad.
Sorry, I was really wrapped up with something there, guys.
What are you writing on the side?
Being harassed. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Anyway.
So I think that's pretty good. As far as the preseason is concerned, we got the wide receiver rumors. Eagles might potentially bring one in. Anything else on the Eagles front? I think we covered about it all.
Yeah, I mean, they got what the... Hey, speaking of, wow. Manifest of that. They got the joint practice this week with the New England Patriots. So maybe Howie's already talking about a trade for one Matthew Judon.
I doubt it very much. But hey, if it happens, another one to you. You've been manifesting a lot of shit lately. So if it happens,
then
more power to you for that. Yeah. I think that about wraps this one up, guys. Appreciate you for tuning into us wrapping up the preseason game. Got some joint practices coming up. We'll get those together for that. We'll keep an eye on these wide receiver rumors as we try and figure out the names that the Eagles have their eyes on. Hopefully no more Sirianni, Howie, Jalen Hurts, disjointed relationship, whatever the case is. And yeah, fun stuff. We'll get up with you guys this week when we hear anything new. Be sure to subscribe, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Follow me, Victor Williams, on social media at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Stephen Conrad Jr. And be sure to stay on tap for all things Philadelphia sports at thelibertyline.com. We'll catch up with you guys later in the week, but until then, peace out from the Philly Pod.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly.